Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 693. The topic is actually a new one. We're titling it Q&A, and the title is How to Control Sweating During Workouts. The reason for the new topic kind of moniker is that I've had people send in questions, but they weren't sure if they fit into what we would normally want to talk about. So this has actually come up a few times just in the last month or two that I felt like, oh my, this would be limiting for people to believe that they couldn't ask a question if it didn't fit kind of a certain mold or area that they believed our podcast was designed around. This podcast is 100% designed around answering your questions. In no way whatsoever would I want someone to feel like they can't ask what they want to ask because they're unsure of whether or not it'd make a good podcast. If you think it's too short of an answer or it's somehow too long of an answer or too specific, please, 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 please do not hold back from asking questions. No matter how specific your question might sound, I can elaborate on it and make it apply to other people. So don't have so little faith in me. I promise you I can talk a lot about anything. So please send in any questions whatsoever. It does not matter. I can even combine questions if they really truly are short answers, but in no way would I want people to feel like they can't ask questions. The entire purpose of this podcast is to answer questions. That's what I wanted it for, because I originally just I wanted to present information that I knew, and knowing that, or believing that, presenting that information would help other people live healthier lives. And then I also wanted to answer questions in a manner that I didn't have to continually retype or re-answer all the time. I could answer a question in a podcast, and then in the future, if somebody asked me a similar question, I would just be able to send the link for the podcast. So the idea of these is just, it's a database of for me, so 693 answers that I already have prepared for questions. And that's the idea of this, is people can get great answers in the sense of a long-winded, but hopefully not unnecessarily long-winded answer, rather than me having to type up something every time. And the more often I'd have to type it, the shorter and shorter it would probably be, because I don't want to spend the time doing it among the million other things I have to do all day. So please, 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 please ask all questions that you want. So this podcast can be a prompt for you, is if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis and you have any question at all, anything that you are uncertain about towards your physical health that is holding you back, or you're not even sure if it's holding you back, not even sure if it's a thing or not, please ask us. It's awesome because it gives me insight into what people need to know or want to know. I can also then work towards solving those problems, whether it's for podcast purposes, whether it's for business purposes. So, for example, the best way for our gym to stay in business is to provide an answer to a question you have, provide a solution to a problem you have. If I know your problems, I can then provide the best solutions. If I don't know the problems, I'm just taking big fat guesses. So it's much easier for me to answer a known question than an unknown one. So the more you comment with us, the more you communicate with us, I truly, sincerely appreciate it. Do not hesitate in any way. I've probably beaten this point to death now. But just please, please, please send any questions you want. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Our website is www.brutalirongym.com. And at the bottom of that, you can send an email. But you're welcome to communicate with us. So to kick this one off, I actually just talked with a client. I do online clients quite a bit. And we were having a phone consultation. And the client brought up the concept, a couple layers of questionings. But number one was, do you have to sweat to have a good workout? And the second one was, can I have a good workout and not sweat? And this has come up actually several times in my career. So I've been a personal trainer for 18 years, worked with over 2,000 clients, many, many, many categories of clients, professional athletes to people who are beginners, Olympic athletes, all that stuff. And it does come up actually where I've been in situations where a person could not sweat during their workout. Now, there are actual medical conditions where a person can't sweat, but these were more so like choices. The person didn't want to have to redo their hair. Maybe they were working and in the middle of the day they didn't want to change their clothes. Now they might, you know, change clothes to work out, but then have to switch back over to business clothes. But they didn't want the resulting heat and sweat of the recovery of the workout to then sweat into their business clothes and they have to like put on a whole bunch of new clothes again. Also, some people have very slimy sweat. Some people have sticky sweat. Some people have smell. They produce more urea, like more like urine smell due to the protein breakdown through their skin. But there's a lot of reasons where people don't want to have to sweat if they don't have to. So what I wanted to do today was to talk about that idea of, that question of, do I have to sweat to have a good workout? And can I work out productively without sweating? The answers are, do I have to sweat to have a good workout? No, not at all. And can I work out productively without sweating? Yes, absolutely. So we're going to talk about two things you can do in your training. We're going to talk about something you can do in your nutrition. And then just make an offer that if anybody wants programming based around this concept, you are not weird. You are not alone. This comes up quite a bit. And we'll always be happy to help. So one of the techniques we can use that I actually talk about quite often in podcasts, especially recently in the last 2 or 3 months, has been the rest pause technique. This would be I do an exercise where I'll go to a bout of effort where I reach good form failure. Let's just say it's at 10 reps. And I'm picking numbers because they're going to make the easier for you to follow in the listening. There's nothing magical about these numbers. You don't have to use these numbers at all. And certain goals wouldn't use these numbers, certain goals would, but just let's stay with the concept I'm talking about here. So if I reach good form failure at 10 reps, and that's typically when I would end my set, I would then either go do other exercises or I would take a long break, say a minute or 2 minute rest. Then there's downtime in those rests that you could be doing something. So rather than sitting around doing nothing, we would typically promote people to do supersets or circuits, meaning they're going to stop that exercise at 10 reps, but then they can go do another exercise while they're resting. So extreme examples of contrast would be, let's say I was doing dumbbell chest presses, so a chest exercise. I could do that for 10 reps while I'm resting my pushing muscles for the chest press. I could be doing a row, a back exercise. So my chest, my front shoulders, and my triceps are resting, quote unquote, while I'm working my back and biceps during the row. Then when the row's done, I can go right back to the chest press because those muscles have had a recovery. And then during that, now the back muscles are recovering. So you're staying busy. You're either doing chest presses or rows, but the chest muscles are relaxing while you do the rows, and the row muscles are relaxing / recovering when you're doing the chest presses. So typically, that's what we would do with workouts, to fill the time. The problem, though, is that's a lot of workload. If I'm going right from the presses, right to the rows, right to the presses, right to the rows, right to the presses, right to the rows, I'm running around doing a lot of stuff, that's going to produce a lot of sweat. That's going to produce a lot of body heat. That's going to make me sweat. The benefit of the rest-pause technique is I don't do that. So I don't bounce around from thing to thing to thing. I stay with one thing. But it's a more useful way to do it than just say I do a set of 10, a minute rest, set of 10, a minute rest, set of 10. So typically we would do 3 sets of 10. But if you're doing a minute rest in between, plus the time it takes to actually do the 10 reps, you're looking at 5 minutes just to do 3 freaking sets. The other important component to recognize before we talk about the next step is during those 10 reps, not all 10 are beneficial for us. Not all 10 elicit the change that we want. We've talked about this before. It's only the repetitions that our body struggles to do that produces that stimulus for a new body, for the change that we want. So if I do a set of 10 and it's really only 8, 9, and 10, reps 8, 9, 10, that were really hard, the first 7 we didn't benefit from, except for the fact that they got us fatigued enough to where reps 8, 9, and 10 were hard. So really, that set of 10, there was only 3 reps that were really useful. The intention of rest-pause technique is, rather than having to produce those 7 reps over and over again to just get 3 that are useful, I can use this technique and get rid of all the extra fluff. So for example, I would do a set of 10. instead of resting a minute, I might put the weight down, I would rest the weight, I would pause, but maybe only for 5 seconds. I'd pick the weight back up. Now, I'm already still in my fatigued state, but I can do a couple more reps. I can't do a whole set of 10 again. Maybe I get one decent one, like where it didn't feel that hard, but then I get a second, a third, and a fourth that were really hard. So the first bout of effort, it took 7 reps to lead up to 3 that were challenging. But with a short rest, I now picked the weights back up again, and it only took 1 rep to lead to 3 that were challenging. I might rest the weight again, pause another 5 seconds, pick the weight back up, and all of a sudden I do 2 more, but they were both miserable. So what this allowed me to do was I did a set of 10 plus 4 plus 2. That equaled 16 total reps. But the ones that were challenging, like we said, were the last 3 of the first 10 reps, the last 3 of the 4 reps, where like I took that short rest, picked it back up, I got 1 decent one, then 3 hard ones. Then I took a short rest and I got 2 miserable ones. They were both miserable. So what that means was I got 8 repetitions that felt extremely challenging that would elicit change out of 16 total reps. Whereas if I did 10 plus 10 plus 10, 3 sets of 10, it would have taken me 30 reps to get the same around 8 reps of change. The rest-pause technique allows us to reduce the overall workload needed to get to the work that matters. I was able to do 16 reps to get 8 that were challenging, rather than 30 reps to get 8 that were challenging. This reduction in overall work volume allows me to produce less body heat and sweat less. Now, does that mean that I will burn less calories during the workout? If I'm, instead of doing 30 reps of volume, I'm now only doing 16? The answer is yes. Yes, you will. So, our question becomes, is that significant enough that I shouldn't do this? Is that a bad thing? If my goal does not involve burning calories, so say my goal is to build muscle tissue, I actually want to try to add weight, add size to my body, then that's freaking amazing because I don't have to try to out-eat that extra calorie burn. So if I'm trying to build muscle, if I'm trying to grow, this is a great technique because I'm not burning so many damn calories that I have to try to out-eat later on in the day. So rest-pause technique is a great way to grow more from the food you already eat. Then, if I am, let's see here, from the food, yes. So if I am wanting to lose body fat, is the reduction in calorie usage harmful to my ability to reduce body fat? In part, yes. But there is major benefit in producing the muscle damage that we want for fat loss. The muscle damage that we're getting from those 8 miserable reps, that is going to require calories from our body to repair and fix that damage. That is where we get the calorie burn, the calorie usage that we want towards fat loss. So in podcast 181, we talk about using muscle damage for fat loss. One of the main reasons why people's exercise does not produce more body fat loss than they think it should is because they lift too light. They go into the gym and don't lift anything. They just do treadmill and cardio, which is stupid, if your main goal is fat loss. Now, there are benefits to cardio compared, like, so for example, somebody's mentally stressed, they can't even get under weights, they're too fatigued to even pay attention to what they're doing, and they don't know if it'll be safe. Sure, cardio is better than nothing. Maybe they don't have a good knowledge. They're not sure how to move weights, how to lift correctly. Then yes, cardio is better than nothing. If you're not going to lift because you don't know what you're doing, then cardio is better than not lifting or not doing anything. Maybe you like doing cardio as a way to just kind of like tune out from the world. It's your way to emotionally collect yourself, mentally catch up, kind of like a little bit of a system recovery, a little bit of me time, a little bit of downtime from the world. Then yes, cardio is good for that. But if you compare the fat loss effects of heavy resistance training versus cardio, heavy resistance training is significantly more effective. It is more effective not in the fact that it burns more calories while you're doing it compared to cardio. It doesn't. It's more effective in the fact that you burn more calories in the recovery process combined with the calories you use while working out. Think about this. If I'm doing cardio only, once I step off the piece of cardio equipment, my body doesn't really have any work to do. I didn't do any damage to my body, I just simply used my body. Whereas if I lift weights, I burned calories while I was lifting weights, yes, just not as many as cardio. But I will now burn more calories by having to repair and address the muscle stress and damage. The amount of calories I'll burn by repairing that stress and damage will actually be greater overall in comparison to the amount of calories burned doing cardio. So I will use more calories within the entire process of working out and recovering when I lift weights versus cardio. So lifting weights is more effective for overall calorie usage. Even if I do rest pause technique compared to normal supersets and circuits. So even though I might go from a reduction of 30 total reps down to 16, I'm still having the 8 that mattered to get the muscle damage I need for the fat loss effect, not only during the workout, but also in the recovery phase. So, when thinking of calories burned, it is a huge, huge hindrance to only think of the calories burned during the session, independent of and not even considering the process of recovery. So, that is one method. Simple rest pause technique is only one of many, many, many methods we can use to decrease our overall workload while still achieving the same results we want to then produce less sweat. So rest pause technique is a way to still have a great workout but sweat less. Another concept we have is simply just increasing the frequency in which you train your body parts. So rather than doing like a bro split where you do chest on Monday, back on Tuesday, legs on Wednesday, you know, shoulders and arms on Thursday and blah, 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 blah. And instead of just doing upper body, lower body, you can train your whole damn body every day. So I have professional athletes. I have trained their entire body 6 days a week. It can be done. It takes, you know, mindfulness and how to structure the workouts correctly, but it can be done. And the benefits of training when you're not fully recovered, meaning every single workout I'm carrying muscle damage from the previous workout into the gym with me. I am sustaining that recovery process of caloric burn. I know my body uses calories while I recover, so if I'm just always recovering, I'm always using more calories. This raises your overall metabolism, how many calories you need every day to just maintain yourself and be alive. By increasing the amount of calories demanded by my body, I can then maintain a deficit, which continually keeps me at fat loss. By using rest pause technique, by increasing body part frequency, and we even talk about the benefits of like training when not fully recovered in podcast 487. So you check that out if you want. these two concepts alone, and there's more, will help us have great, great workouts, super productive workouts. But they'll reduce our overall workload, and we don't have to sweat as much. The nutrition tips, simply work out before you eat carbs. Carbs hold water in our body. I can't sweat water out of my body if I don't have it in there. Do we have water in our body even though we don't eat carbs? Yes. We do have hydration. We do have water in our body. But you hold more water in your muscles when you have carbs and sodium. So if you work out in the morning, you would have a protein-based breakfast. I wouldn't suggest using fats as energy because they take a while to break down, meaning you won't actually have the calories for the energy of the workout in them. You'll just have the fat sitting in your belly, kind of ticking off your stomach. So you would work out with some protein in your system to protect muscle usage and protein synthesis process. And you would drink liquid, which contained carbohydrates in the form of sugars, combined with some kind of salt, like sodium, in the drink. And you would drink that throughout the workout, sipping on it in the first half, and then drinking more and more and more of it into the second half. This will help you sweat less, because you'll have less water in your muscles. And then as you would introduce more water, you're introducing carbs and salt, which help form glycogen, which actually stores the water in the muscles and prevents it from being able to kind of spill out. So we can do techniques with our training that allow us to decrease overall work volume, but still increase our results and make sure we get great workouts without sweating. We can also change our nutrition around to, again, hold less body water and therefore reduce my likelihood to sweat. And when loading the water back into my body, I can load it in a manner in which my body will hold on to it better. There is so much unique awesomeness when it comes to how you can modify training and nutrition when you know the components. So you can see, even in just the two techniques we talked about and the quick little nutritional tips of this, and there's so many more, that you can have great workouts without sweating. And you do not have to sweat to have a good workout. So if you don't want to have to redo your hair after training, you don't have to. If you don't want to stink up the room after training, you don't have to. If you don't want to have to change clothes, you don't have to take a shower. You don't want to have to do the things that deal with being sweaty. You don't have to. You can work out and have workouts match what you need from them in regards to how to live your lifestyle. If you're not working out in the morning because you don't want to be sweaty, why the hell? Don't do that. Don't skip your workouts just for that reason. That's a reason we can address. That's a reason we can kind of adjust for, correct for. You do not have to miss workouts for that reason. So hopefully this helped. Try these things out. If you want help with programming on how to actually put this all together specific for your needs and your lifestyle, we obviously do that. That's how we stay in business. That's how we continue to be able to do this podcast with the amazing, wonderful help of the patrons of the podcast who help financially support the podcast. And this podcast would not be possible without their donations. So it's extremely, extremely helpful. So thank you very, very much to those who donate. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But this is something we can help you with. You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Check out our online client options. We can help you with programming for nutrition and training and even lifestyle kind of accountability training. We can check in with you every week. We can do video reviews. We can do virtual check-ins, phone call check-ins. Whatever level of assistance and support that you want, we can offer it. We can help you make training fit your life. So you can stay with it. You can live the life that you want. Cool. So hopefully this was helpful. Remember, if you have any questions at all, any questions, please send them in. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. We would love to keep this kind of like Q&A topic going because I want to ensure that this podcast stays with its intended true purpose, is to answer your questions, to help you live a healthier life, a happier life, a more fulfilled life. We want that for you. Now, if you want that for those that you love, please share this podcast. The more people you can share this podcast to, the greater reach we can have, the greater positive effect on our worlds, the world around us, that we can have. We can help the people we love the most get the most from their life. You can share the podcast on social media, email, text message, conversation, however. The more you share it, the better it'll be. Thank you. Also, if you like this information, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, like we said, this podcast is for you. So we want to know what you want to learn about. Tell us at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.